Welcome to Deeply Rooted, a web series on mindset. My name is Tony Wisdom, aka Tony Gaines. I've spent over 20 years in the music business as a producer, engineer, label owner, and executive. This show is dedicated to changing the narrative on success. I reached out to the most successful people I know. I want to know what drives them, their greatest mistakes, their best advice, their secrets to success, and how all of that has shaped who they are today. Take a journey with us.
What's going on, y'all? Deeply Rooted, Season 4, Episode 6. This season has been focused on rock star, amazing women. We've been all over the world, literally. We were in England, we were in Africa, we were in Canada, New York. And our next guest is a Lawrence native. You know, the first three seasons, you know, there were so many awesome people from our community. And, you know, as the show started growing and we started reaching out to different guests, you know, we didn't have any locals this season. And while our next guest isn't local, so to speak, she lives in LA. She is born and raised in Lawrence. She is a TV news producer. She's worked on several shows all across the country. She is a single mother, and you know, to just to be climbing up the career ladder and to be a single mother just in itself is something to be celebrated. And her name is Alicia Rogers. So without further ado, I will bring her on and let's get into it. Thanks for tuning in. There she is.
Thanks for the intro. I appreciate it.
No doubt. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm so humbled and thankful and appreciative of the offer to come on and share my journey.
No doubt. And can you give us a little background on who you are professionally?
Sure. Professional Alicia. I am a TV news producer, as you mentioned. I'm currently based in Los Angeles. But I have worked at news stations all over the country. I started in Charlotte, North Carolina, and dipped over to the Midwest in Lawrence, in Topeka, Kansas, right where I'm from, a little hometown repping. And then jumped to San Diego, California, before coming up to LA and launching a new show for my current news station.
Awesome.
Yeah.
This was obviously something you wanted to do. I mean, you went to college and everything, right? So how has it been? Just this is a curiosity thing. Like, how has it been climbing that ladder in media?
Yeah, so I had, specifically with journalism, I had an interesting kind of entrance into the industry. I always knew I had a really big mouth and that I wanted to be an advocate and use my voice to help people and to do good with it. And when years ago, before I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, I lived in San Diego, and I got to do some really amazing nonprofit work with some military families there. And I had been in the position of many of them before in the very beginning of my ex-husband's career. And so I understood and I could empathize. And I was able to use my voice to make sure they were all taken care of in really cool ways. And we were able to document it, you know, with an amazing team of videographers that helped as well. So that was kind of my first taste of it, knowing like I'm supposed to be doing something with this. And then I actually went back to college. My goal was to go back for a different degree, different career path once my youngest son got to kindergarten. Okay. And I did it and was going for television production and graphic design is what I was in for. Mm-hmm. And I landed in the news industry specifically because I had a 10-week internship that I needed to finish to complete my degree program. Mm-hmm. And knew I kind of did my research on the station and on the, you know, the industry there in that market, and jumped in with it like full force. And 3 weeks in, they offered me a job into my 10-week internship. So I just ran with it and kept going and didn't look back, and then continued to explore all the ways that I could use my voice and advocate for good within the industry.
I love that. That's awesome. Because I'm a firm believer that the secret to living is giving. and being in service to others. So hats off to you. So who is Alicia the person?
Alicia the person is incredibly nerdy and awkward and quirky and fun-loving and adventurous and really heart-driven, which is my greatest strength. And a friend told me also my greatest weakness sometimes. I'm working on that. I'm a mom and I had a family really young. So when you ask that question and when I get asked that question when I do interviews or podcasts, I try to rehearse it as many times as I can, but it's interesting because a lot of my identity was wrapped up in being a wife and a mom at such a young age before I even knew who I was as a woman. So it's very interesting. My divorce journey has also been a journey of kind of focusing on who I am and discovering myself, which has been really great and interesting.
Yeah, I love it. So how do you define success?
Success is such a subjective term, and I love that because I know what success is going to be for me is going to be different for other people. And I also know success at the end of the day, too, will be very similar across the board. For me, success is a multitude of things. Financials aside for a second, success is doing good in the world and raising kind humans. It's really important to me. And one of the biggest things for me on a personal level for success is empowering myself to choose joy, because I think joy and happiness is a choice. And we all are on that pursuit our whole lives, trying to figure out what we need or what, how much more money or the perfect, you know, what do we need for things to be perfect, to be happy. And so my idea of success is being able to be present in the moment and choose joy. And I'm not always winning at that. It's the struggle and I'm constantly working on it. And then also success for me it is power and money as well. Like, I want to be successful. I want to be financially stable, and I want power so I can do more good in this world. And so I feel like I want those things for the right reason. It's not ego driven. It's for the reasons to try and do as much good as I can. So that's success for me.
I love it. Such a great answer. Now, how has that changed for you? Is that the same way 18-year-old Alicia saw success?
Not at all. I don't think you would ever hear me say I want power and money like that, like in that way. You know what I mean? As like assertively and as aggressively as I can now very clearly say. And it's still for the right reasons. I was raised by an amazing woman who raised me to do as much good and be a good person. And so I really carried that with me. But I think there was a level of confidence that came with me on my career path and also becoming a single woman and understanding just the value sincerely of having financial freedom and having power when it comes to being able to do more good and reach more people to do that good. So I think it's changed for sure in that way. And then it's also changed, of course, my mindset when it comes to right now, I'm not a team, you know, I'm an I, and I have had to change kind of do it wasn't a huge shift for me, but do a shift, you know, in my mentality set and mindset there for kind of going at it alone.
Yeah. And one thing you said that I really love is being in the moment as, you know, judging success, right? And just because really, that's really all we have. I mean, yesterday is gone and tomorrow hasn't come, but you know, today we have choices, you know. Absolutely. And another thing is, you know, you say you're not always successful at that, right? But the thing is, see, a lot of people are so hard on themselves, but 1% growth every day, after a year, the compound effect of that, you've grown 365%. You're 3.5 times better than you were, you know? Yeah. So I love that you pointed that out as well.
Absolutely.
So what drives you? What's your why?
Let's see. I think the easiest answer first and foremost would be my kiddos, my children. Kids are the best motivator, you know, in the world for somebody who is needing to like level up or do more to make sure they're giving their, you know, legacy, you know, but beyond them, the best chance in life. So that would be my first and foremost. But as my kids are getting older, I have two in high school now and one in middle school. I feel like my why is expanding even more. And as I mentioned too, kind of like finding my purpose and my identity on my own is making sure I have that why outside of being a mom. You know, being a mom is the most important job I feel like I will ever have. But it's not necessarily my purpose in this world. I have so many other purposes. And so for me, finding my purpose and then figuring out my why to fulfill that purpose has been my big thing. My why is because I believe I can really make a great impact in this world. And I can do a lot of good, and I have the power and the big mouth to do so. And so why am I wasting it? Why am I not doing it? You know?
I love it. So can you think of a major setback in your life that set you up for later success?
Yeah. Let's see. I think it's a two-part answer. I think the first one, when I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina, about 6 years ago, almost 7 years ago, I went through a separation with my then husband, and it was caught me off guard. It was not what I planned, but it was a really pivotal and defining moment for me in my life, because it made me form a plan B in ways I had never, you know, I was all in previously. It made me form a plan B to protect myself and to make sure that I had plans in the future set, you know, to take care of my children if things didn't work out. And I'm so glad I did that. It was such a pivotal moment, because then fast forward, you know, 2 years ago, the plan that I had, plan B, I hoped I never had to go to, but I had put in place, I had to utilize it. And it was my saving grace, because I was already so deep in my career, which is such a competitive market. Mm-hmm. And needed to figure out how I could make it happen and transition out of, you know, a big life event, a divorce, and out of a, you know, marriage, and still maintain my career in the second largest news market in the entire country. Mm-hmm. So that was my big thing. I was thankful for that setback initially that made me remind me to take care of myself and put myself first, because I deserve that. And it led to me being able to put that plan into place when the time came, you know, a few years later.
I love it.
Yeah.
So what is one of the best or most worthwhile investments you've ever made? It could be an investment of money, time, energy, et cetera.
I think the best investment I've ever made, I'm going to give you two. First and foremost, myself. Lots of moms, if there's any moms watching this, they can probably all relate to some degree, and other parents as well, is that when you're like that maternal caregiver, you are so not good a lot of times at taking care of yourself. So investing in myself has been my number one thing. I am capable of so many amazing things, and I've proven it to myself even when I've doubted myself in the past. And that's why I am where I'm at today. So investing in myself, and then investing in people. People, everybody's going through life, humans, you know, we're all going through this human experience, but I have never been disappointed when I am investing and giving, you know, in a loving way to people without expectation, you know? And then there are those beautiful moments, right, where that comes full circle, and it happens all the time in the littlest of ways, and it's so beautiful. So investing in myself and investing in people.
I love it. And, you know, when we are our greatest self, right, like, and that's the mission, right, to strive to be the best you that you can be. But when we do that, and when we're living in that, it makes everything around us better. It makes the people around us better. It makes the experiences we have better. You know, it makes hard times better, you know? Yeah. So I love it. Great answer. What act of kindness were you once shown that you'll never forget?
Oh goodness. I didn't prepare for this one. I've had so many beautiful humans. That is what I'll always remain so humble and full of so much gratitude, because I'm where I'm at today, because of the kindness that's been bestowed upon me from people I know and from so many complete strangers. I'm trying to pinpoint, there's been literally so many of them. you know what? I'll start with when I went back to college. I was like the old lady starting a new career, right? And you're never too old. Just let me say that right there. And I had a program director who became my mentor, and believed in me when I was like, listen, I'm just in here. I just need a quick degree and I'm going in this direction. He's like, I don't think so. I think you're heading in this direction. I see really big things for you. And he just believed me and believed in me and my potential in ways that I hadn't had somebody in a professional capacity ever believe in me. And it literally did wonders for getting me my jump start into my career and giving me the just extra boost of confidence to just go for it. You know, I literally was nicknamed the old lady intern at my first internship because they were all young, you know, 20 something, 21, 22 year olds right out of college. And I was like almost 30 and I was like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say my mentor just gave me words of affirmation and believed in me when I was at a point where I thought I had the support right of my partner at the time and did not, and questioned if I should be going back to school. And yeah, it meant the world. But I've had so many other humans that have just done tiny little beautiful acts of kindness that I can never repay, and I can never even list them all because there's been so many.
And you know, that kind of goes back to what we were just talking about on the last question, right? Like, so he made an investment in you. If it wasn't just time to give you something that was on his heart, you know, and yeah, we never know the difference that we can make. And that we do make in people's lives.
Absolutely.
So hats off to him.
Yeah, I'm the biggest advocate of kindness, of small, tiny acts, right? That you don't tell anybody else about. You just do them, you know, quietly throughout your day in little ways. And I've realized and I watched those little tiny ripple effects like just have such dramatic impacts on people who need the most. So that's why I always remind people and remind myself, just go out of my way, do the extra, hold the door, say hello, tell somebody they look beautiful or compliment them. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes a long way.
It goes a long way. And people tend to think like giving is like, you know, giving someone money or, you know, feeding it. But no, it can be, like you said, it can be done in many different ways. And when I was saying earlier about the secret to living is giving, to expand on that, it's right. It's like when you're in the moment that you give, right? And you give unconditionally without, you know, expecting anything in return. In that moment, all the pain and suffering disappears, right? Mm-hmm. The way you feel. And you can have that all the time if you just are intentional about that. And
absolutely. You described that before about like you step outside of yourself. Mm-hmm. You step outside of yourself and your human experience and your pain, right? Like in that moment. Yeah. And you're right. It's the best feeling in the world. Attitude of gratitude.
Yep. So in the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
Let's see here. It really has been reorganizing and reprioritizing myself. And dealing with the, I know you're focusing on a lot of women, but other mothers can understand this, really like squashing that guilt that I feel for like loving my career so much and going for it. There were ways, I think a lot of moms naturally feel that way, but, we just feel guilty when we're not able to balance it all perfectly, in the game of motherhood and having a really high, you know, demanding and career like I have. Just squashing that guilt and for wanting something for me. As I mentioned, being a mom will always be my most important job, but like my career, I deserve it. And I work really hard for it. And I'm really good at it when I'm focusing and applying myself. And so just making sure I remind myself that, and also remind other women that, you know, there's so many other women that feel the same way, that are trying to balance it all and don't think they can go for it, or think they've already started a family and it's too late to go for their dreams.
I love that. And this is from time to time I say, message.
There you go. There's your message.
So what advice would you give to a kid about to enter the real world?
I feel like society lays out this straight, narrow path of right, how you're supposed to go about pursuing your dreams. There's the college, there's no one right way. There can be a smarter way, right? Working smarter, not harder, in the way you set yourself up in life. But if there's anything I've learned that applies to my career, but also just applies so perfectly outside of it, is this isn't a straight path to life. I'm just hopping around to different like stepping stones. And when I stop trying to control it so much, right, that plans, all those plans that we put into place, where then I'm stuck in the future and I'm not in the present, when I force myself to come out of that, it literally is the most beautiful experience of just being able to flow through life and be appreciative of the experience in itself.
I love it, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Like you know, yeah. Right now, like a meteor could fall out the sky and we could all be gone. So yeah. Why not, like we've said before, capitalize on the moment. It just, you know.
Yeah. Also, YouTube for financial videos. There's so many resources. I hate that schools, kids that are getting ready to enter the real world, didn't get all like learning how to do their taxes and real world stuff like that. Self-teaching yourself. Always be ready to learn more in life and be ready to teach yourself. YouTube, Instagram, all of them. They have so many resources to teach yourself what teachers and family members didn't teach you.
I love that. That is great advice.
That's practical.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's practical, but you know, that's something about this time, this day and age right now, right? You know, I think about what value a university used to serve in a community, right? So you think about Lawrence and you think about KU, and if you're in Baldwin or you're in a surrounding area, like all the information is at the university. So that was the value in them, right? Because they had the libraries and the research, but nowadays, we have that information right here, you know? The world's information is in your pocket. And pretty much, you know, if you don't know something, that's kind of on you, you know? Like, put the effort in, you know? And if you're not conscious that it exists, then just be intentional and it'll come to you.
I'll just put like a little like journalistic like tidbit here, a little red flag, warning flag. All of the information we could ever want, you're right, is at our fingertips, but it also makes it more important for every single one of us, not just me as a journalist and media, but all of us to do our due diligence with our research skills. Mm. And we understand where credible sources are and that we're getting the correct information, because this is the generation of misinformation, the time, you know, that we're in. And it's been really interesting and also just heartbreaking and really, disappointing, right, to see how badly misinformation takes over and costs lives in this country.
Yeah. I would say, you know, the last 4 years, you know, when the political climate was just ravenous, right? Like, misinformation was at an all-time high. And it's amazing how people will just take something that they've seen like in a comment section or something and take it for truth. And, you know, I don't know. So that's great advice. Definitely, you know, make sure you're getting the right information. Okay. So our mantra here at Deeply Rooted is kill the ego, ignite the soul. What does that mean to you?
For me, and especially when I hear kill the ego, it's normally like any of anxiety or fear. I'm like really, I can admit personally, I'm very like to be in control. I like to plan things. I like to, you know, make a plan and execute it. And I realize so often that keeps me stuck in ego. It keeps me fearful. You know, that's why I control. And so one of the most beautiful moments I've experienced in life over and over again has been when I'm able to dissolve the ego and just to step, you know, completely out of it, right? And just embrace the flow, you know, of things. So that's for sure what it means for me personally, is letting go of the fear, which helps me let go of the control. And magical things happen when I do that. And magical things will happen for other people when they're able to do that, because fear is never a powerful place to be.
I love it. Okay. We all have this moment in our journeys where we want to call it quits, when we are at our lowest, so to speak. When you reached that point on your path, how did you fight through it and what kept you going?
I think I've been there a lot of times. When I think of like the lowest, I will admit I went through divorce and then the pandemic hit. So I had just gotten like kids settled in. I had a part-time nanny that was just my saving grace with balancing it all. And then the pandemic hit and then I lost the nanny. And all three kids were back home and I was homeschooling them. but I was still deemed an essential worker and still had to produce shows and get them on air. You know, people needed that information, whether it was coming from the CDC or the FDA and guidance on things more than ever. So my job didn't stop. So that was one of the roughest moments. I feel like I look back to a few moments during the pandemic when I didn't quite have my feet underneath me to like go at this. I felt like as a single mom and like have this badass career that I was going for. And so I think always reminding myself that this isn't going to last. Yeah. Come up with a quick plan and move forward. It will never last. And there have been some really dark moments. It's hard, right? Like we all have been through a really rough couple years with everything that's gone on in the world. And then, I mean, when you add on that, people experiencing loss and people, right? Parents, this has been especially hard on parents and especially hard on working mothers. It's been devastating for a lot of them. So I think just reminding yourself, this too shall pass. It's one of the, you know, most common, simplest phrases, but it always does. Like the rain always stops and the sun has to come out sometime. We don't know when that's going to be, but if you keep telling yourself that, even if you feel like a crazy person saying it, it's going to happen. So I think that would be my biggest recommendation to push through in those dark moments, is that it will always get better. It might not happen the next, you know, day. It might not happen immediately, but it will get better if you just have faith and kind of hold out.
I love it. So on a day-to-day basis, when you feel overwhelmed or unfocused or have lost your focus temporarily, what do you do?
I saw you just immediately thinking of like some funny noises that I make when I'm really stressed out. It's usually like a woo. I am very fortunate in that I get to work from home for part of the day. I have an amazing news station that's been flexible with me because they know I have children and they know I'll work hard and get the job done. So I start my mornings usually between 4 and 4:30 in the morning, getting my shows, starting to prep them, and work for the first half of the day. But there are for sure crazy moments in there when I'm then waking up my kids and having them start get ready for school. In the moment of me still having to conduct meetings with my team and kind of balance all of that. And so I'm a really big, if I'm incredibly stressed or I'm in a very intense situation, I get very quiet. I might come off a little bit more like high energy or even high strung in other moments, but when things get very stressful and it's like too much, I literally kind of just shut down for a moment and kind of move inward and take a breath. Grounding is one thing that I'll use, technique that I use that works really well. And if anybody's familiar with the news industry or behind the scenes, sometimes like breaking news situations can get so crazy and so overwhelming. There are a million people going in different ways and we don't have it all the time, thank goodness. But when it hits, I'm usually the very eerily calm person in the corner, like just giving out orders to people. A lot of times it will surprise people or people make jokes about it. Cause normally I'm like loud and bubbly and like just all over the place, but I get hyper-focused and I get quiet and calm in those moments.
Awesome. Newsroom, I think that's the name of it. Newsroom, is that the show on HBO?
Yep, the morning show. Morning show, I think it's more, what is it?
Well, no, no.
Right?
No, with it's like a series, right? It's like a dramatic series.
Me that I don't know. I'll have to look it up.
And well, I think you would love it. It's like it's basically about like one of those Anderson Cooper type CNN, one of the big anchors, and that has like a show, and it focuses on this one guy, and then they'll take real situations that happen and then put them into the show and just how. So it's, I think you would love it. So if you, I don't know if you have time for things like that, but
I need a good binge every now and then to escape for sure. I will say I've had so many hilarious stories from the industry and so many crazy stories. I'll give one really fast. I had one at my very first news station. I jumped in as like my first job was as an editor. And so I would literally just edit all the film coming in, all the B-roll coming in from whatever scenes they were at or whatever. And I was editing it one day and I saw my producer note on there and it was like, no, but. And I was like, what the heck does that mean? And so I start going through the B-roll to chop it up. And one of our reporters was interviewing a guy who had gotten shot earlier that day. and I was asking him how he's feeling. He obviously, it was like a flesh wound, how he's feeling, how he's doing. And in the middle of the interview, he turned around and pulled down his pants and like moon room in the middle of it. And I've never wanted to beg my bosses so badly to just let me blur the butt and so we could see what it is. So, I mean, but crazy situations. That was, I mean, I remember first time showing up to a news, or excuse me, to a crime scene on a call that we happened to be nearby when I was first interning, and the cops hadn't even arrived yet. And the scene was still active. And they were like, and I was like, I remember the photographer being like, oh, this is nothing. We're just going to stay back over here for a little while.
Let them finish killing each other. We'll get the footage. Yeah. Later. That's funny. Okay. Just a couple more questions. If you could have one gigantic billboard that millions of people would see anywhere with anything on it, what would it say and why?
This is so easy. Be kind, choose love. And I think that would be the message that just represents who I am in general and what I want in this world and the good that I want to see done. And I feel like there's nothing more powerful than the kindness that comes out of love and choosing love. So for sure, that would be it.
I like that a lot. And it's actionable, right? So I like that as well. Okay. Because of my music background, I always throw this in there. Do you have a song that you would consider the soundtrack to your life or a song that you turn to for strength, either one or both?
Oh, goodness. I'm going to go with, what is it? I feel like I'm not, some gospel music that I've heard sometimes is the most powerful. Like, I'm not super, super religious, but, what is the song Rise Up? It's one of the most beautiful songs ever.
Andra Day.
I love her. We actually just did an interview with her and she won so many awards recently. I want to say it was the Grammys. Maybe we did an amazing interview with her. But yeah, I would say that one. And then, I really love just anything light and inspiring as far as music goes. I can't even give you direct titles, but I have just playlists that are just dance music. Especially if I'm feeling down, that's kind of my go-to, is like turn some music on if I'm needing to clean or whatever, is override my whatever mood or I'm going through and turn on some positive, uplifting dancing music. So
I love that, because music is energy and you can change your mood just like that. You can raise your vibrations just like that.
Yeah.
So Andra Day, I actually just last night I pulled up a live version of Rise Up just because I love it. It's a perfect song and it's like the message is so beautiful. So I love that one too. Okay, so Alicia, is there anything that we can do to serve you or to help you? Or is there any message that you would like to give?
Yeah, I think I know exactly what everybody could do that would serve me, is continue being kind. Choose one act every day this week. Just do it for a week and we'll see if that habit sticks. Something small, it does not have to be big at all. It's holding the door for someone. It's giving them a compliment. Choose to go out of your way when you normally would not, maybe naturally, and do something kind for somebody and put a smile on someone's face. That's what you can do for me.
I love it. Awesome. Are you on Clubhouse by chance?
I am. I'm on Clubhouse. I have a few rooms that I help moderate. And then sometimes I'll pop in there throughout the week.
I have two great rooms
that
I want to invite you to, because almost everything you said is what we talk about in those rooms on a daily basis. So I will look you up and I'll invite you. So you have been awesome. This was a great interview. I want to thank you for taking time out of your Sunday. And I guess that's basically it. As long as there's nothing else that you have to say.
Thank you for doing what you're doing. Thank you for spotlighting women that you're doing. Yes. There's nothing, like, I love that you're doing that so much. And thanks for just putting out goodness into the world. If anybody is watching this and they don't happen to be in the Facebook group that you have, they need to join it. I think this got shared to my page too. So any of my friends, I'll link the Facebook group that Tony has in the comment section. It is so amazing. I'm literally liking multiple things from there every single day. I usually wake up and that's some of the stuff that's in the top of my feed, and it's so inspiring and encouraging. And so I would encourage everybody to join his group because it's really good.
Thank you. And that's why I do it. Just sometimes we just need those little reminders or those little wake up calls. And so we will continue to do it. So thank you, Alicia. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Okay. So yeah, that was great. I can't believe that 30 episodes, and I think I've said it every episode this season, like, if you're not watching Deeply Rooted this season, I really don't know what you're doing. Like, this, we are having powerful conversations, and you know, there's something that can be learned every single week. So deeplyrooted.com. You can find our merch and past episodes. We release this show in podcast form. All of that can be found. All of our links can be found on Instagram. We have a link tree on there. So just keep rocking with us. Next week, we have my friend Mimi. And Mimi is awesome. And this is going to be another great conversation with another rock star woman. So, love you guys. One love. And like Alicia said, be kind, choose love.